Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Robert Rogers, and this is Parkinson's Recovery. If you're interested in getting some ideas of what you can do to get relief from the symptoms of Parkinson's, you have come to the right place and the right time. This is the holiday season, and I want everybody to know who's a Parkinson's Recovery member and who regularly visits the member website to be sure and visit the member website over the holidays. I have created and invented an approach for assessing all possible factors that might be causing your current symptoms. So basically, I went back and I identified what everybody has told me has been a factor for them. And this particular assessment gives you an opportunity to just literally go down, take some time, and assess what might be a potential cause that you hadn't even considered. So for those of you who are members, don't forget, I know it's the holiday and time to take a break, but don't forget to check in to the website and take a little time to go through that particular assessment. And if you're not a member, you can click in there to the member website for free for 3 days. And so that's maybe something you might want to consider. More information is at parkinsonsrecovery.org. My guest today is Rick Seklin, who is the author of Parkinson's Disease, Looking Down the Barrel, talking about a powerful title for a book. Rick, thank you so much for being with us today.
I'm certainly glad to be here.
So I know you've got an incredible story to tell about first realizing that you had some of the symptoms of Parkinson's and then all of the kinds of things that happened afterward. Tell us some about that experience.
It goes on from the time I got diagnosed. I mean, there's a lot of issues there with getting diagnosed, finding the right medical doctors to do that if you don't get the proper medical attention. And, with all the other disorders that go along with Parkinson's, your depression and mood, not being able to sleep, besides the actual symptoms of Parkinson's, the rigidity and shaking and so forth, the doctors are trying to treat all those and find the right dosage, and everybody is different. And so I went through a series of different doctors and eventually found some good doctors. I was living in Midland, Texas at the time. And had some local doctors take a look, and I wanted a second opinion and get some other treatment, and ended up going to the Scott and White Medical College in Temple, Texas. I got a proper diagnosis, and actually the first diagnosis, actually. And then from there, I had another series of doctors from Midland to Wisconsin, where I live now. In the beginnings, when I first got diagnosed, a lot of different things go through your head. You know, of course, first thing you're going to say is, why me? And that's anything that goes through our mind. Why me? What did I do? What could you do different? You know, we start looking back on our history and, you know, what might have caused this? You know, what in our life might have caused this? I myself, I was a bodybuilder at one time, and I competed, in a lot of different contests here in Milwaukee and nationally. And so I started, the first thing that came to my mind was, well, I did take steroids. Maybe steroids caused it. And I went back and I looked at maybe the period that I was in the Navy. I was in the Navy during the Vietnam War. The ship I was on, I was assigned as a gunner's mate. In the back of the ship, I was in charge of the small arms locker, which is right above the stern and the propellers. And I smelled diesel fuel all day long. So I thought, well, you know, sometimes they say that Parkinson's can develop that from the environmental issues. And so I thought, well, maybe it's from that. I was a cabinet maker for about 4 or 5 years. And being a cabinet maker, you're in a spray booth and spraying different contact glues on countertops and so forth. And, you know, there's many times that I, you know, wouldn't have a mask on. And actually some years I went without a mask on. So, you know, it could be from that too. So those are all the things that anybody with Parkinson's disease will ask, you know, start going through their history, trying to find out, what it could be and how we might have been able to change that. And of course, once you find out what you really have, I dealt with just the disease like any of us do in the beginning. I actually, being a Christian, I felt like, I was gonna fight this tooth and nail, and going forward, I was very strong, but then sure, other symptoms start to hit you, and other things happen. I mean, I got 4 years into my diagnosis, I found myself divorced. My son stayed with me for about a year after the divorce and then eventually moved in with his mother. I'm sure you couldn't stand my moods that I had. I ended up just quitting my job one day. I worked for the sheriff's office, and I was a law enforcement officer, and just walked in there one day and quit after 14 years. And I found myself sitting at the edge of the bed with a gun in my hand, looking down the barrel of my own duty pistol with my finger on the trigger. And, a good thing about that is I'm still here, so we all know that I didn't pull the trigger. And a number of different things that occurred in my life that might be why I didn't do that. Of course, I love my kids. I have... three kids and four grandchildren, and I couldn't imagine doing something like that. Of course, I was in the right state of mind. One thing about Parkinson's is that it's not just the disease and some of the symptoms we have, but there's a lot of different side effects, other things that happen and really affect the family. Your mood, your depression. Within the marriage, sexual dysfunction, so many different things that can happen that may be the root of causes of people having problems. Some of these things will happen before someone's even actually diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And so the doctors are now becoming aware of some of this. And of course, depression is a big part of it, and we're getting treated for that. But my battle went on, and of course, I eventually came out of that. But I had sleep disorders and, rigidity on my right side. I've been battling that I was diagnosed in 2003. And ended up quitting my job about 4 years after that. And that was maybe part of an impulse disorder that comes with some of the side effects of Parkinson's or the meds we take. Some people are into gambling. It actually happened to me for a period of time. Maybe some of the meds I took that I felt like, wanted to gamble. Started off with scratch-off tickets and, ended up going to Vegas one time and blowing $3,000 in the first few hours. And I didn't have that kind of money, but I was trying to get more from my bank to get more in my hand. And I couldn't stop. It didn't matter if I won or lost. I just wanted to go through the motions. And people are finding this out now and finding that there's a lot of different, a myriad of problems that occur with this disease. There was a period of time that, you try to do anything you can. If you're not getting sleep and you're depressed, you try to do what you can. I actually went through a period while I worked for the sheriff's office where I ended up, being a bad cop. I ended up getting some marijuana, knowing that marijuana could be good for medicinal use. And I tried a marijuana cigarette and joint, we call it, and it sure calmed the right side of my body down. And so I would smoke a little bit at nighttime, just before I went to bed. Of course, I wouldn't go to work, smoking or anything. I never used anything during the day, during my work hours. I only did that for a little while. I was one of those officers that wanted to be like Serpico, if you remember Serpico from New York. He you know, good cop. He went and fought corruption in New York, and I was in the Navy at the time when I read the book. It was the book New York City Police that ended up being the movie Supergirl. But he fought corruption, and I wanted to be a police officer. At that time in Milwaukee, right before I went in the Navy, I thought about becoming a police aide, but they had height requirements. I'm 5'6", and you had to be 5'8", so that wasn't going to work for me. But nevertheless, I still had that interest and read the book and then saw the movie, and eventually some years later, and you know, after carpentry and millwork, I ended up as a law enforcement officer. And I wanted to be one of those law enforcement officers that was the good cop. You know, did everything by the book, followed policies and procedures. I ended up being a sergeant at the sheriff's office. I was an instructor for TCLOS, the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement Standards and Education, and supervisor. And yet, when Parkinson's hit, 4 years into it, I found myself, you know, trying to relieve some of my symptoms to be normal. And I dealt with the guilt of that. And that was worse than anything. 'Cause here I was going to work, and I knew that I had officers out in the field that were risking their life for people bringing stuff that I was doing at home. And if you can imagine that guilt, I had to try to live with that. And of course, that, you know, didn't help any of my moods and so forth, and just, you know, put me down and under, and ended up wanting to just run away from everything. And I ended up doing that. I being faithful, I lost my faith in God. I hated God at the time. I blamed God. After my son left, I one day walked into work and just quit. I just, maybe the compulsive thing again, but I couldn't handle the stress or the politics or whatever it was. You know, I'm going to blame it on the Parkinson's and just on the compulsive disorder and just quit. And I had gone to school for criminal justice, and I received my degree. I graduated cum laude from Lubbock Christian University, and was a class leader. I was awarded Crime Prevention Officer of the Year in 2006 in Midland, Texas. And here I was, just giving up a whole career. And stayed in my house for a few months, and I ended up leaving everything to a friend and just coming back to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to run and you know, find something. And I had family up here and grandkids up here, so it's what I needed. My son, my youngest son, 19, came into the room home from school one day, the day I had that gun in my hand, ready to pull that trigger. As I heard that front door open up, I hid that gun underneath the pillow. I had been crying and depressed, and he came in the room just to check on me. He understood I had been, you know, crying a lot and being depressed, not just because of the Parkinson's, but because of the divorce with his mother after 18 years. And, you know, just his love and tell me that everything will be okay, and convinced me that the best thing for me to do was to move back to Milwaukee to be with my other kids, as he had made the decision before that he was going to move in with his mother in Nevada. And he was a smart kid. He knew what was right, what, you know, what I needed. He knew where I'd find happiness and so forth. And it's an important thing with Parkinson's, is that we all need support, and support from everybody around us, from our friends, from our family, support groups from people we don't know, but eventually will become our friends. People with Parkinson's have to have some type of support to help pull them through some of the downtimes that they're going to have. And I believe that, and as part of me writing my story, to let people know out there the importance of finding a cure for this disease, the battles that we deal with, the effects that Parkinson's has on not only the individual that has the disease, but his family around him, because they're all connected and they're all part of it. And caregivers, we're thankful for them. Caregivers are everybody around us, their friends and family. And they need to understand, sometimes it's not just these physical ailments where we can't move a leg or can't move an arm or become rigid, and that there's other things that affect our thought processes. And you know, it's not that we don't love, you know, our wife or our children. It's that sometimes these things are affecting our mind. But I ended up coming back up here and to Milwaukee, and you know, stayed with my children for a while, and gratefully ended up meeting a single mother of two boys, and she's a teacher, and we fell in love, and I remarried, and I'm very happy, and I'm happy to be around my children and my grandchildren, and life couldn't be better. And what I'm finding is that we all have to find a new purpose. We all have a purpose, and we don't know what that is, and we can blame God, and, you know, blame the disease, and, you know, try to find someone to blame, but what we can do is we can take our ailments and turn it into a positive, and that's what I am doing, and it's what I'm trying to do, and that's why I wrote my story and trying to get my story out to everybody to let them know that we can find a new purpose, that we may not have the right answers, and we won't, and we leave that to God and just follow his path, and it can lead us on to better things and help us get through day to day.
If you'd like to be able to ask Rick a question or talk with him, you can call the following toll-free number if you live in the United States, 877-590-0733. Or if you live outside the U.S., you can call a number that is as follows, 347-945-5358. Do you miss police work, Rick?
Oh, my God, do I miss police work. Yes, I do. It's, you know, when I actually moved up here, the first thing I did is try to find another job. And I'll tell you, the most depressing thing that can happen is that if you have a career and you get up and walk away, I don't care how good of an officer you were, I don't care how much education you have, but if you leave a job without giving notice, you're not going to have another career after that in that same field. And so I tried to, you know, acquire a couple different positions, and that didn't work out. And, you know, of course, they look back at your history, and then they want to know why you quit. And then you start with the problem is, do I disclose? Do I let them know about my Parkinson's?
And what was your decision? Did you disclose or not?
Well, that's a good question. Sometimes I did, and sometimes I didn't. There was one of the jobs I received. I didn't say anything about my disease, but when I was hired, they had their own doctor on site. They have a big facility, big plant, sausage making plant up here, and I got hired on as a supervisor. Pretty good salary, you know, I thought, well, okay, well, good. My management degree is going to come in handy. This will be great. And went through a big process, and they did hire me. But then I had to get that physical, and I had to disclose what medicines I was taking. Well, that's a gift. That's a give. You tell them what medicines you're taking. Well, I'm taking carbidopa and L-dopa. Oh, why? Do you have Parkinson's? So you tell them. So then, you know, so then they knew. That, of course, you know, American Disabilities Act, they can't not hire you, and I got, or not continue with your employment, and I went on and worked at the plant for about 3 days. Of course, my Parkinson's got in the way of that, and it was a very big plant, and a lot of walking up and downstairs, and many flights of stairs, and it was just too much, and I had to tell them, due to the Parkinson's, I couldn't continue after 3 days. So that was pretty sad. Ended up taking another position after that. I let them know right away about the Parkinson's, but lied and said that it wouldn't affect me, and which it did. And, you know, 6-7 months later, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't, and gave up that position too. So. Unfortunately, that didn't work, but yeah, I do miss law enforcement very much. It was a great career. I worked at prisons in New Mexico before that, and a couple different facilities there, and then I worked at the sheriff's office there in Texas, and I loved it. I wasn't out on patrol, so I wasn't arresting anybody for marijuana and taking their stuff. If anybody's thinking that. I was a jail administrator inside, or a jail a sergeant administrator. I don't want to say I was an administrator. And you know, doing a lot of paperwork and supervising 16 people and running a couple shifts. And I really, really enjoyed that. My hope, and that's why I went back to school and got my degree at 50, which is the same year I was diagnosed with Parkinson's. I might note that, yeah, I'm still paying college expenses on education that I can't even use. But besides that, I mean, I miss it, and I wish I was still working in it. I could work many, many more years. My own father is... going to be 83. He is 83 already here, the 20th. And he's not retired yet. He's a clinical psychologist in Texas, still working for prison systems there, and 83 years old, still working, never retired. So how much, I mean, at 57 years old now, I mean, I had many more years to work, which, you know, now are gone. Other ways that I could work and that's doing what I'm doing is getting my story out there and going to support groups and talking to people and inspiring them to maybe tell their story or just help them through their process and lift their spirits as much as they can from a, you know, any moment that they're down.
You mentioned how critical support groups are to individuals who currently experience the symptoms of Parkinson's. What are your support groups?
Well, my support groups, of course, like I said, your support groups are your caregivers and people around you. My support groups are my friends, my family, my children, well, their family, of course. I have a couple support groups that I had attended back in Texas, and now that I'm attending here in Milwaukee, and you meet people, you meet people there, and that certainly helps. But those are important, and those are my support groups. And you know, I would have to say my biggest support besides my immediate family is God. Because I really feel that when somebody struggles through something like this, you try to find those answers, and you got to let those answers or let those problems lie on somebody else's shoulders and take what's given to you and use it for the better. And that's what I'm doing. And so I'd say, yeah, my my support groups are some of the support groups I attend, my family, and God.
What has helped you the most with respect to getting relief from the symptoms that you have been experiencing?
Well, that's a tough question. I would say, if anything, of course, the medicine. I mean, but then, you know, we know that taking the medicine can cause other side effects too. So sometimes I just deal with them. I take my meds every 4 hours. I have dosages that I'm sure are different than everybody else. And, you know, we all progress differently. And so my the different medicines I take, I'm looking at my table right now, and I'm probably seeing about 9 different bottles there of different kind of meds that I take, you know, for bipolar, for depression, for Parkinson's, for blood pressure too. But dealing with the disease, it surely gets your blood pressure up. But like I said, in the past I had tried the marijuana, and that was an immediate relief of symptoms. You're right. My right side is my affected side. And if I just smoked a couple tokes on a marijuana joint, my whole right side would completely relax. And although that, you know, I know that I haven't used the stuff. I mean, I did back then, then stopped. I mean, I had a family member get me some more. But I don't touch the stuff because it's just not, you know, I still have that officer, that law enforcement officer mentality. It's illegal. And so I feel guilty. Even though I'm not a cop anymore, I still feel guilty. And I just wish we had medicinal use for it so that I could feel more relaxed to use it. So I just rely on my medicines and that's about it.
What has helped you the least to get relief from the current symptoms that you are experiencing?
Well, I would say the least would be inactivity. Inactivity, not doing anything. If there's periods that you get that will get you down, I really think that will cause more problems, which can cause stress, and stress in itself really makes the Parkinson's worse. So you have to stay away from anything that can cause stress. So the least thing would be, you know, just not being active. I think getting out there and being active, even if it's not going outside, being active, you could be inside, but being doing something productive, you know, like I'm doing with my story. I mean, my story hasn't ended in just a book. I mean, I'm trying to get this story out to help other people to find awareness for Parkinson's and show the different challenges that people fight with this disease every day. I would love to try to find a way to raise funds to help research and find a cure. And I actually have people working and collaborating on the possibility of turning this into a movie. And, of course, we'd be always looking for other people to help us, you know, in that arena. But those are the things that I do to stay busy and be productive, and that helps. I think if you just sit back and just give up, that's the worst thing. I did that for quite a period of time, Robert. I would wake up and look in the mirror and I'd see an old man with Parkinson's. And I did that for a long time. And I got tired of waking up and looking in the mirror and seeing that old man with Parkinson's. You know, I remember a story that I heard that, who is it, the Apple computer inventor?
Steve Jobs, I think.
Steve Jobs. You know, he told a story one time and said that, you know, he would look in the mirror in the morning, and if he asked himself the question, am I going to be happy doing what I'm going to be doing today? If he answered no a few times, he would change what he's doing. Now, of course, that was addressed to maybe a job that he was doing or something maybe he was inventing. But I look at it as, you know, I get tired of looking at the same old, you know, old man in the mirror with Parkinson's, and I decided I needed to do something about it and change something about it. I want to be the old man with Parkinson's. You know, I'll be the guy in the mirror with Parkinson's that's doing something about it instead. And I really feel that through God, I was able to sit down and write the story and get it out there. And, you know, and really excited about the responses that I got with people and how moved they get from reading this story. And I try to bring some funny stuff into it and be real about it. But, you know, some of it is sad and some of it can be happy. But I think that's what everybody needs to do. They need to find, you know, something to do, even when they have Parkinson's. They got to get up and move and got to get up and do something new. Use the disease if you have to.
Richard Seklin, you are the author of Parkinson's Disease, Looking Down the Barrel. Tell everyone about your book.
Well, the book is about, you know, it goes on and says it's the, you know, sheriff's midlife memoirs, and I can say midlife crisis because that's what it was, and just how I dealt with getting diagnosed, the process of getting diagnosed and finding the right doctors, the process of finding the right medications, the right support groups, and how this disease affects the family. You know, here I was, you know, happily married and working, you know, young son at home still in school that I coached football with, and, you know, and an honored officer working for the sheriff's office, you know, everything was great. I was, you know, going to church on Sundays, having Bible study at my house on Fridays, and life couldn't have been better. And then, you know, every once in a while something happens, we get handed a different card, and this was the card I got handed. And to show how Parkinson's affects everybody and how it affects people differently, how it progresses differently for everybody, and other ailments that happen within the disease that just that are related that affect family, friends, jobs, careers, you know, everything. And you know, I want to get that story out, and I'm really excited that you know, it got out there.
Have you written a book previously and been an author of another book, or is this your first book?
It's actually my second book. The first book really that I got published, I had back in the early 90s, I was a bodybuilder. I was Mr. Milwaukee in 1982 and competed up here in Milwaukee in the number contest. I opened up a health club in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and I ran a gym out there called Main Street Muscle. Competed nationally, and I actually won the National Goats Classic in 1986. And, you know, it was great. I was in magazines. I was on ESPN. Things couldn't have been, you know, nicer for a bodybuilder at the time. But, you know, things happen, and ended up getting out of the sport and getting in. You know, I was in law enforcement for a little bit before the gym, and then back in law enforcement after. And I'll stop here just for a second to have you refresh my memory, because again, I want people to know this is a part of Parkinson's, is that we kind of lose our train of thought and what the question was asked. And that's, you know, I want people to hear what's happening here right now, is that I'm asking Robert to tell me what the question was again.
Well, you actually answered it beautifully, Rick. It was
good. That
if you had ever written a book previously or been an author of a book, and it sounds like you must have written one about bodybuilding then.
There you go, the whole important point about that question. Yes, I did. Because I was in the fitness and exercise, I wrote back in the early 90s, I wrote, it was a software program from Neosoft, and I wrote an exercise program, and actually was published in the 1996 Software of the Month Club. And that was that software, that all that technical writing I did on exercise and programs and training and dieting and nutrition, I took all that information and I put it into a couple of different short little pamphlets. So to say, you know, programs that I sold online, I actually threw a floppy disk, if you can remember those things, and that was kind of fun, and then I eventually turned that into a book. After I actually wrote the Parkinson's book, I thought, why not take all that information I had from the 90s, because it's good information, and put that together and into one book. And so I have out there now with this book, I have Work Out Until You're Blue, because that's what people will do if they don't know what they're doing. And so it's called Work Out Until You're Blue, and it's exercise programs and training principles and techniques. And it's for personal trainers and the advanced athlete. Actually, anybody can use it, and it's up there too, selling.
Who are the people who should seriously consider buying your book today? Who are the individuals who would most benefit from purchasing Parkinson's Disease Looking Down the Barrel?
I think anybody that is struggling through the disease, any family that's trying to find questions about the disease and how it affects the family. The responses that I get from some of the people that have read the book is, I had no idea that so many other things are affected by Parkinson's. It's mind-boggling or mind-opening. And so people that not only have the disease, but the caregivers, people that deal with support groups, the family, I think it's important that, you know, or that it would help them get through their process and possibly answer some questions they have. And if anything, I use some humor in my writing, and I have some poems in there and some spiritual things in there. And it's my hope to lift their spirit through reading this story. And so when they finish, they find a feeling of happiness and joy. That's what I hope for.
Do you still exercise regularly as you did when you were a bodybuilder?
I wish I did. As a bodybuilder, I did it for competition. And it's sad to say, I didn't work out for the health of it. I always tell people that. I worked out for competition. You know, when a bodybuilder is standing on stage and they're 4.96% body fat, which is very, very low. I think lower than 4% and die, I think. But, you know, I got hydrostatic weigh-in at the University of Wisconsin one year when I went out for the USA, and I was 4.96. But when you stand on stage, and you're very unhealthy. So when you stand there and you're cut up and you see muscles and striations and vascularity, the bodybuilder has very low percent body fat, and you need fat for absorption of vitamins A, K, D, and E, shock and absorption for vitamins and or for organs and so forth. So, you know, nutrition-wise, you're unhealthy. And so I never competed for the health of it. I competed to win. And so sad to say is I didn't exercise for health. Now I need to exercise for health. I still find it hard to get. I did join a gym, and I went a number of times, and you know, I still find it struggling to get out of the house and get over there sometimes and exercise. You know, I tend to have this ego thing where I want to push weight and lift weight, and I start seeing other bodybuilders and powerlifters in the gym. It's an ego thing, and I see that, and now I feel like, well, I was way up here and at one point. Now I'm the old man with Parkinson's in the gym, and if anything, I stay on the bike or the, you know, the treadmill and do a little walking or do a little spinning on the bike, and that's about it. And so I don't get in there like I should. And here's you know, one for, if I got a book out there, then why am I not doing it myself? And, you know, but there's a lot of important things in the book for people that are out there and can get out there and do it. And so, yeah, I'm still struggling with that. But I'm, you know, hoping to do a lot more. And that's an honest answer.
You mentioned you've been able to obtain the help from a number of different healthcare professionals and doctors. Who would you consider to be is on your medical team?
Well, I have some great doctors. When I first got up, when I got diagnosed, I went to the Scott and White Medical College there in Temple, Texas, and that was a great neurology facility there. I had one of the best doctors. He's world known for I don't know if I can mention his name or not, but you know, but you know, he's world renowned for some of the things that he's doing with Parkinson's. He was the one that diagnosed me. Had an okay doctor after that in Midland. When I moved up here, I was struggling. I didn't have the job. So when you don't have a job, you don't have insurance. You know, I was paying a lot of money for my medication. I could still get prescriptions for it, but I didn't have a doctor I could go to or afford to see. And so it took me a while to get covered. When I did get insurance, I went to the Milwaukee Medical College of Wisconsin. And I'm with a great team there. They got a great Parkinson's support group and program there. Some of the best neurologists up here in Wisconsin. My doctor there is, can I mention his name?
Oh, of course.
Oh, his name is Dr. Heiner. And he's a great physician, very personable, and, you know, listens to all the questions I have and, you know, answers everything for me. And what's neat about that is that actually when I lost the one job I had with the insurance, I found out, well, hey, I can get help with the VA. So if anybody's listening to this program that are a veteran and they need help, the veterans office will help you if you don't have insurance. And so I went to the Veterans Administration, talked to them, and, of course, got approved. And so I got taken care of by them. And what was really neat about that is the same doctor that I was seeing with my insurance when I had the insurance at the Medical College of Wisconsin takes visits at the Veterans Administration here in Milwaukee. And so I ended up with the same doctor, which was just fabulous. And so, you know, I wish to stay with them. The Veterans Administration has been very helpful. The psychology and the psychiatry departments and of course, the neurology department, all beneficial for me. And, of course, they start throwing other things at you and get you all checked up, you know, good oil change. And it's just been great. That's my team.
You mentioned earlier that you suspected when you were first diagnosed with the symptoms of Parkinson's that factors that might be causes are steroids or possibly diesel fuel exposure or possibly exposure to paints and glues in the various occupations that you've had over your lifetime. What do you think today are factors that are causing the symptoms that you are currently experiencing?
Well, of course, the symptoms I have now may be related to some of those other issues, but, you know, whatever it was that, you know, I was either contaminated with or whatever, I mean, now I have the problems in the brain. And so the Parkinson's is from the lack of dopamine, of course, and as everybody knows with Parkinson's. And so those are my reasons for my problems. Of course, the disease is progressive, and I thank God that my disease is progressing, I would say, slow compared to others that I heard. I know other people that were diagnosed 2002, 2003, when I was, that are a lot worse off than I am. So that's one thing. But if anything, the thing that affects my disease most right now would be stress. Not that I have a lot of it. I'm not working anymore, so I'm not dealing with the politics at work and not dealing with the stress at work. If anything, maybe the dog stresses me out, or the cat barking. Or, and it really stressed me out if the cat was barking on, wouldn't it? But yeah, it's just minor things. But stress can do it. You know, of course, you always have stress in different situations. So if I'm on the road, it got really bad for a while when I was on the road, and you know, somebody pulls off in front of you, and you know, that starts the nervousness, and it's just something how it works for me. Now, other people might be different, but, you know, stress will start my right side shaking pretty much, and it's hard for me to, you know, I have to pull over the side of the road and not drive if that was the case. And not that I do a lot of driving anymore, but if I am, I'd certainly pull over and wait for it to calm down.
What have you found has been most successful for you in addressing stress when it rears its ugly head?
Well, if anything, rest. One thing that I found out with my symptoms, and I'm going to say my symptoms because, again, with Parkinson's, we're all different. But what I found out that works best for me is if I'm stressed out over stuff or anything's happening, I maybe just to be by myself and close my eyes for about 10 minutes. It's amazing that it's like, you know, it's like plugging my brain back into a circuit. You know, I could be stressed out over something, and that stress might be coming from maybe just not being able to think properly and not being able to put things in perspective. Maybe from lack of dopamine. And so, you know, you get stressed out over something that maybe is not really, you know, should be stressing you. And so you just rest. You get away, lay down your head, and I could do that. I could sit in the chair, lay down my head for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes at the most, open, and automatically just wake up and feel recharged and feel absolutely great. And so I tell, you know, people that if you're, you know, if you get stressed, you know, if you get tired, to take that nap. It's something important for people with Parkinson's and employers that have people with Parkinson's working for them is let them have a 10-minute nap. When I worked for the sheriff's office, there were times that I felt like I just needed to lay my head down. Of course, if you're found on the job sleeping, you're going to get terminated. Well, I got approval from my lieutenant and my captain, and was able to put my head down for about 10 minutes from time to time if I have to, just to recuperate. And I would do that, and you know, I'd find myself looking at a computer and not be able to think about a program that I used or maybe even developed and know how to use, and can't figure out what I'm doing to produce maybe a report that I need, and sit there and look at it for an hour and figure out what the hell's going on. And rest my head for about 10 minutes, you know, sleep for 10 minutes, wake up, and zap through the program like it was nothing. And so for stress and tiredness, if you need it, take that little nap and certainly do that and get that recharge. And that's what works for me.
You've mentioned that you take a number of medicines that have been helpful. What is most important for people with the symptoms of Parkinson's to know about the therapies that you're familiar with?
The therapies, different, I guess the different therapies. Let me just kind of give you my scenario, because that's the best way to explain it. Because, everybody is going to be different. Some people might not be depressed. Some people might not have sleeping problems. I take medicines for depression. And actually, I take medicine now for being a little bit bipolar. That came about I mentioned about driving before and stress, and I remember talking to the psychiatrist and saying, I don't know what it is, but, if somebody pulls in front of me, as an officer, I used to just, I was in my own private car, you just, deal with it, and, like we all do, not have any road rage. But I told her, I remember feeling like I wanted to get out of my car, and I was afraid of what I might do to them, and I just had this aggression and just these, manic episodes. And so I got put on some minor medicine for being a little bit bipolar. For a while, I had problems sleeping, and I was taking, anatriptyline to rest a little bit to help me relax and get some sleep. One thing with the medicine, it's like you're putting fuel in the brain. I don't know how to describe it, but sometimes it seems like it charges it up, and one moment you're just tired, and the next moment your mind won't stop going a million miles an hour, and you're thinking about all kinds of stuff, and it keeps you awake. But I went through a terrible time where I was getting 3 hours of sleep a night back in Texas, and then working on computers as a hobby at nighttime, and then going to work in my office all day long, and doing that day in and day out. That was some other areas of need. Another thing might be, one of the side effects of people with Parkinson's is swallowing. I don't have too much, trouble swallowing at all anymore. Once in a while, I might gag on a little saliva, but I tend to have a little bit of heartburn at nighttime. It's maybe because I do have Parkinson's that I'm not swallowing like I should be while I'm sleeping, and I end up inhaling some of my fluids in my mouth and wake up choking a little bit. So that, if there's things that you can take for that, there's some medicine I take to kind of help that. But some vitamins here and there, and that's about it. The Parkinson's meds, they're specific for different people. I've gone through a couple of different kinds. Mostly what works for me is the carbidopa levodopa. The levodopa is the drug that we get our, dopamine from, and I believe it is the carbidopa helps the levodopa get through past the blood-brain barriers. And then I take another medicine called Compton that helps kind of smooth things out a little bit and makes the medicine last a little bit longer.
What have been the gifts in disguise with the symptoms of Parkinson's that you currently experience?
The gifts in disguise.
The gifts in disguise, the experience that you had with Parkinson's that has wound up being a positive benefit to your life.
Well, I can tell you that if it wasn't for that, I sat down and wrote my story out and just how I dealt with the problems that I had and some of the different issues I had with the marriage and the divorce and the compulsive disorder and the gambling and the you know, maybe smoking marijuana while I was an officer. I mean, some of those drastic things that it wasn't for me sitting down and writing that out and seeing that on paper. If anything, that was an eye opener for me to take a look at that from, you know, try to take a look at that from a different perspective and see that. And then finding that renewal. Like I said, going through that, I had a hate for God. I mean, anybody can hate God for a while when something happens to them or they lose a family member, a loved one, so forth. But, you know, I think it's a struggle that we all go through. And then I found a renewal in my faith. And through that and through my story, which has been just awesome, I have been, you know, introduced to other people that if not for me writing this out and doing this, that I would have never met. And I believe, you know, some of the other people I've met are going to end up being lifetime friends and acquaintances. And of course, you know, other projects that I can work on. I mean, there's other things I want to do to help out. I mean, I have five, in January and February, I have five seminars that I'm doing, or speaking sessions, I should call them, you know, to tell my story like I'm doing here, you know, talk about my book and my symptoms and my problems and how I dealt with it to help other people. They wanted to, you know, pay me for this. And of course, these are support groups, Parkinson's support groups. I told them, no, I want to give back. And if anything, it's, you know, God has given me a gift to give back, and it's making me feel great, and it's making me feel better than I have even before than I had the Parkinson's. So that's a gift.
If you'd like to be able to call in and ask Richard Seklin a question or talk with him, you can call our toll-free number, and that's 877-590-0733. Some of the individuals that are currently listening to this show and individuals who will listen later to the archived program will have been just diagnosed a few days ago, if not a few weeks ago. What would you want to say to these individuals?
I would say the first thing to do is research and get as much information as you can. I think one thing that helped me is doing my own research and grabbing up the books and talking to your doctors and asking the questions, asking the, if anything, if you just got diagnosed, go to a Parkinson's support group, talk to other people so you can find out what's happened, because there you're going to find the people that have the knowledge to give you some of the supplies that you're going to need, whether it's reading material or just information answers, to help you understand what's going on and what can happen. You know, when we first get the disease, the first thing that we hear from people around us is the first thing they say to you when you tell them you have Parkinson's, "Oh, I'm so sorry." Well, you know, that's devastating. You know, it's drastic to hear that from somebody. So it scares us, and, you know, it's that fear that we all have. So we need to find out those answers and find out that, hey, this disease can be different. We all progress differently, and we're going to have different needs. And to get that support and find the right support, because I went to a support group, you know, soon after I found out, after I was diagnosed, and I ended up in a support group with a lot of older adults. I'm 57. I was 50 at the time, but I was in a room with people 70s and 80s and 90s. And so that wasn't the right support group for me. There's a lot of people that get diagnosed, you know, young onset, you know, 40 and younger. And so you might find a group that's 50 or younger that, you know, because people that are younger are dealing with careers and work and have those issues of disclosure. Should I disclose? Shouldn't I disclose? That kind of information that's important to know. And so that's where you get that from. So you know, you don't have to go to one support group and stick to that one. Go to a few of them and check them out. Find the ones that, you know, that you feel that best fits you. But definitely get that support group and get your family involved, because it's important. You know, if I could tell anybody anything, I get my family more involved so they know that the mood swings I had or the depression I had, it was never addressed to them, or, you know, it's not that I didn't love them, you know, or that I just disregarded them. I was dealing with something that I didn't even know was happening, and they needed to understand, you know, so they could see what was happening with me and know that it was just a disease that I was fighting, and that it was just not just physical ailments, but mental and physiological things, psychological things that happen that that we all deal with, and those kind of issues. So yeah, get the support and get caregivers involved and get them educated too as soon as you can.
How can people buy your book, Parkinson's Disease, Looking Down the Barrel?
Well, the book is on Amazon. It's in paperback and it's an ebook. It's on Barnes and Noble's on the Pubit site. And then you can go to Google Books, actually, too. It's on Google Books, and you can see it there. You can actually read 20% of the book, which is a lot of information I gave you here. And I hope you get moved by it. But it's available out there. And like I said, we're kind of got a couple people working on the idea of maybe putting this into a movie. So if there's people out there that are interested in getting involved in that and helping us out to get the story out and find a cure and let caregivers know, what's needed and support groups and so forth, and to help us, raise funds for a cure and maybe even help somebody out there who might want to help us put a DVD together that we can produce as a fundraising vehicle for Parkinson's. So, if they can, contact me for that, after they read the story and get moved by it and want to participate, that'd be awesome.
How can people get in touch with you, Rick?
Well, I have a website. It's walkiefitnesstrainer.com, and then they can also email me at rsecklin, that's SECKLIN, at gmail.com, if they're interested. And then I have a Twitter account too, where they can tweet me, and that's Parkinson's Help. So there's contacts there that we've made, and I've actually been approved by Kickstarter. Kickstarter is a program that helps you raise some funds and help get this story out there. But we need to develop a little video for that. So if somebody wants to help us with that, that'd be awesome.
You mentioned that the website is Milwaukee Fitness Center. It might be a smart idea to spell that for everyone, since Milwaukee is a tough one to spell.
Milwaukee is MILWAUKEE, and it's Fitness Trainer .com. All one word, MilwaukeeFitnessTrainer.com. I believe if they Google Milwaukee Fitness Trainer, they'll find it.
So you've mentioned a few projects that are already in the planning stages. What other projects are on the drawing board for you?
Well, that's about it. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I got another idea for a book that deals with Parkinson's. So since I have Parkinson's and since I have so much information and all those years of training athletes and owning a health club and exercising, that I could very well develop a really good fitness book for people with Parkinson's. And there's other books out there, so I have to kind of take a look and maybe take a certain a certain angle on that. But that's one of the ideas that I had that's up there spinning in my head. But I certainly love to write, and so I'll continue doing that and find some other things to write about it. I have a book that I started on Parkinson's relationships, since my dealings with Parkinson's and the onset of this disease and all the in and outs that caused my breakup of my marriage after 18 years, that I felt like there's something I can put together for people that are dealing with Parkinson's and relationships when it involves, the love that, people have for each other, including sexual relationships and the different problems that people will have with Parkinson's that, it's not that you don't love somebody. Maybe you just can't, maybe you need some medicine to continue doing what you're doing. And I'm sure everybody understands where I'm getting that. And then even for a woman with Parkinson's, I mean, there's going to be more problems and symptoms that they have. And it's not that they don't love their partner, maybe just that they're not in the mood, they're depressed and dealing with other symptoms from this disease. So people in relationships that, somebody has Parkinson's certainly need to understand, especially the younger, the younger groups of people that, young onset group that are still so active in these relationships and still trying to find a partner even.
Sounds like that's a work in progress. Do you have a title for that new book?
Actually I do, but I'm not sure if it's going to really, go over well, but it's because again, like I did in Looking Down the Barrel, I used some humor in there because it's, I think you got to get through life with some humor. It's the only way to get through life. And so I do use some humor, and you can tell with the title because of the kind of the temporary title I have right now is called Drooling Sex.
That should sell a few copies.
I don't know, but certainly people will look at it like, what the heck are they talking about?
Right.
But, there you go.
I'll be issuing the December issue of the Parkinson's Recovery magazine on Friday, just before Christmas Day. I'd love it if you could write an article for the magazine in a future month. Might you be available to do that, Rick?
Oh, that would be exciting. I certainly would. I would love to do that.
It sounds like you've got some material, some ideas, and some subjects that many other individuals are not writing about. And so I'm sure that the audience of readers of the magazine would love to read anything that you would write.
Oh, that would be great. I would love to be a part of that. And again, see, that's something else that that would be allow me to help other people. So, of course, I would.
Wonderful. What question have I not asked that I need to be sure and ask?
I'm not too sure if I would be able to answer that. I really don't know. I would say, if anything, this we talked about medical doctors and getting the right diagnosis and getting the right doctors you always hear stories where people in small towns need to get out of the small town and go to a bigger city to find, better doctors that maybe they're there because they get paid better or so forth. And, and, uh, And I'm not downgrading Midland at all in any way. They got excellent doctors. I had an awesome general practitioner there. But I did end up I think a quack there for a while that was first treating me with the, you know, to try to find out if I had Parkinson's. And so I could say anything, you know, do some research first before you even go to a doctor. Usually your doctor will refer you to somebody else. I was referred to this doctor, and you know, all I can you know, relay a story where I was laying in his office. He had an office in another town, and he was just opening an office in Midland, and he didn't even have a nurse working for him yet. He had a secretary that was her first day there. And so he's doing a spinal tap to get some fluid to see, you know, to run a you know, the spinal tap to check the fluid off for diseases in my, you know, in my pre-diagnosis. And he tried to get in the back four times. And on his fourth attempt, I finally yelled at him and stopped him from doing what he was doing. And his secretary was freaking out because here she's not even a nurse. And it was, it was early in the morning, and we were the only ones in the office, and I'm just laying in a room on a bed. And so it was like, I can't believe this is happening. So I would say, you know, if anything, you know, for people to ask is ask the right questions and check with other people and do other research to find the right doctor to go to first, the first time if you can.
You've talked quite a bit about the challenge of depressions that you confronted, particularly in the early stages of the diagnosis. What's been most helpful to you in being able to address that challenge?
You know, a lot of things that you think might be causing depression is to find those right answers. Was my depression caused from Parkinson's? Was my depression caused from stress at work? Was my depression caused from not being able to sleep? Was my depression caused from, you know, finding out my wife was, you know, having an affair with somebody else? You know, politics at work. A lot of it. So you find out, you gotta analyze the depression itself. Find out what issues are causing. Try to get rid of some of the stressful issues that may be causing the depression. You might not be able to find those because as it might be, you know, physiological and other chemicals causing the depression itself. You know, from what I understand, you know, 30-40%, and you probably would know the answer to that better than I, 30-40% of people with Parkinson's have depression issues. And so is it from the, you know, the medicine we take? Is it from the disease itself? So try to find those answers out. If, you know, and if anything, just get the rest, but always have the support there. If you don't have the support there, being not really alone, but, you know, felt alone without a, you know, support group at the time, because I stopped going to the support group I went to when I found myself looking down the barrel of a gun. That's the worst thing that could happen. So, you know, that's why it's important for caregivers to understand what, you know, people with Parkinson's are going through, to make sure that when, you know, watch for those signs of depression and be around them and don't leave them alone. And because a lot of things can happen. So, you know, if anything, find out, you know, the best you can of why you might be getting depressed. Get treated for that. Talk to your doctor. Ask those questions, because if you don't ask, the doctor's not going to know. And so the best thing to do is to sit down and, you know, different things will happen. You might not have an appointment for a month or two. I go to the doctor usually every 3 months. And so you write down those questions. You know, how come I'm depressed? Or why is it that I feel like killing somebody if they cut me off when I'm driving? You know, you write all those questions down, and then you get them answered. and then you get them treated. If you don't write them down and don't, because you'll forget when you get to the doctor. He's going to be jarring your arms and legs and having you do different things, and you'll forget the question you want to ask. So write it down, take that paper to your doctor. You have a good doctor, he'll listen to you and, you know, answer your questions, and then start dealing with some of the different things. You know, I went to a psychologist, started talking about some of the symptoms I was having. They sent me to a psychiatrist. Psychiatrist gave me medicine. Simple as that. So write those questions down and ask the doctors.
To clarify for everyone, it sounds like you're available to be a guest speaker for any audience or support group for individuals currently experiencing the symptoms of Parkinson's. How do people get in touch with you if they'd like to invite you to their support group?
Well, you know, of course, here up in Milwaukee, they can get go through Milwaukee Medical College of Wisconsin, and there's a Parkinson's Support Group website there. I'm not sure of the address there, but they can just Google it and they'll find it and get a hold of them, because right now I have that support group organizing the other sessions that I'm doing. But I'd also be available for, you know, online, whether it's video conference, if people wanted to. Just, they can get a hold of me for that, and we can set that up. And again, you know, my email is rsecklin@gmail.com.
Richard Secklin, author of Parkinson's Disease, Looking Down the Barrel, thank you so much for being my guest today on the Parkinson's Recovery Radio Network.
You are so welcome, Robert, and I hope, you know, I maybe help some people out there, maybe answer some of the questions they had, or maybe entice them to get up there and get some more information on their symptoms and how to help themselves out. And again, I wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and God bless everyone.
And that's what's happening on the shores of the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and all the children are truly loved. No, by virtue of the fact you are listening to this radio show today, that you are on the road to recovery. May each and every individual who's listening today have an incredible and a divine holiday. We look forward to connecting with you next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Good day.